are so glad that you are listening to the Mission Point Community Church podcast. It's our prayer that this helps you grow in your relationship with Jesus and encourages you to show and share the love of Jesus everywhere you go. Thanks for tuning in. Now let's dive into the message.
Well, we'll start here. Good morning, church. If I've not had the chance to meet you, my name is Scott, and I serve as the interim teaching pastor here, and it is great to be with you. I'm glad you've joined us today, especially those of you that are at home sitting on your couch watching this in the warmth of your own home. Good job, and glad that you're here. So a couple things. We're in this series that we're talking about, like, hey, it's the beginning of the year, things start over, all things new. And so you've joined us at a great time. You haven't missed a ton, but just glad that you are here. I don't know about you, but the first part of the year was interesting. We're always looking at like things that happened last year and then things we want to do this year. So, you know, right now we're starting to get tax forms. Like, here's what happened in your finances last year. And around the end of the year, a lot of us got the notification, like, here's what you listened to last year. Here was like the thing that was number one in your playlist last year. We had a really odd thing happen in our house this year. A bunch of us in the house share a Spotify account. A couple of my kids got their own, but we generally share a family Spotify account. And so one of my kids sent a text. It was like, wow, look at what we listened to last year. Because my oldest is like 20 something and my youngest is 14. And the number one song played in our house this year for the first time in like 15 years was Hot Potato by the Wiggles. And my youngest is 14, okay? The Wiggles made like the top five. I think two of the top five were the Wiggles, and then Miss Rachel showed up in there as well. If you know who she is, if you know, right? Miss Rachel, okay? So that ended up in our place, and you're like, what the heck? So here's the thing. Here at Mission Point, if you're new here, we talk about orphan and vulnerable children a lot. And so our family partnered with a couple of families and a couple of organizations, and we had kids in our house like all year, like littles, like, I mean, 6 months to like a year and a half, almost 2 years old. And so my wife and I, like, yeah, we haven't done this in a long time. So we just went to what we knew, right? Which was the Wiggles. Like, things are starting to melt down. Let's go Hot Potato, right? Big Red Car. Like, I'm a big fan of the Australian crew, right? The Wiggles. And so this year it showed up in our playlist. I'm not going to ask you to disclose what was in your playlist, but if we were all to look back over the last year, we had a playlist, that thing that we played over and over in our head, and maybe it was good. Maybe we were tired of it. Trust me, I got tired of, you know, Hot Potato after a while, but it worked. So maybe that playlist that was playing in your head was good. Maybe it was bad, but we all had a playlist from last year that played in our heads a lot. I'm going to use that as kind of a metaphor today because God's word speaks to this idea that the playlist that plays in our head over and over and over impacts our actions, impacts our relationships, it impacts the way we see the world, it impacts everything. And so that's where we're headed today, is we're going to look at God's word and what it says about the playlist that we play over and over and over in our head, in our mind, and how it impacts us. I can't remember if I said this or not. I'm Scott. Did I say this? We do two services. So yeah, I'm Scott. I'm interim teaching pastor. And we're going to spend time today in the book of Romans. So if you brought your Bible, stick your finger in the book of Romans or swipe to it in your Bible. We're going to Romans chapter 12. That's in the New Testament. Now, before I can get to Romans chapter 12, I have to give a little context on the beginning of the book of Romans. A lot of scholars would say, and a lot of scholars would agree, that the book of Romans, the first 10, 11 chapters, is like the main theological doctrine and document for the New Testament. That Paul just kind of lays it out and gives us a ton of really great core foundational theology and doctrine in the book of Romans. So here's what I love is that over time, people have said, instead of like, you got to go through the entire book of Romans, there's this thing that people came up probably, I don't know when it was, somebody landed on it. But what they did is they plucked out some of Paul's, and let's stick with the music theme for just a second. Paul was the guy who wrote Romans. What they did is they plucked out some of Paul's, we'll call them his greatest hits, and they put them together out of the first 10 chapters, and they call it the Roman Road. Now, how many of you have heard of the Roman Road? Raise your hand if you've heard of the Roman Road. Okay, a bunch of us have heard it. For me, I was introduced to this probably 20 years ago, 25 years ago. And so now, anytime I get a new Bible, I go to the book of Romans, and I write down these five verses in the beginning of the book of Romans, because the Roman Road, simple way to explain it, it is the road of passages, if you just want to think about it like this. It's these five passages, Paul's greatest hits, that we can travel on to walk someone through or understand salvation. That's why we call it the Roman Road. Nothing super fancy about that. But it starts in Romans chapter 3, verse 23. Here's what it is. I'm just going to read these. They're not going to be on the screen. I'm just going to read these real quick. But Romans 3, 23, if you want to understand salvation, again, read through Paul's greatest hits. Romans 3, 23. Here's where it starts. Oh, it's a good one. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. So Paul opens the Roman Road with a country song. This is not good news. Sorry, country fans, right? This is Paul writing his country song, his country ballad, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, right? Like, that's his country ballad. Don't use that in the social media post this week, please. He starts with bad news. All have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Romans 3:23. But buzz forward to Romans 6:23. Well, let's see. Does it get any better? Romans 6:23 says this. Oh, for the wages of sin is death. Okay, now it's country western, not just country. Now it's really bad, right? For the wages of sin are death, but the gift of God. Oh, no, no. But the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. So it's like a Beyonce country song, right? So it's like, it's hopeful, it's country, but it's hopeful, okay? So the wages of sin are death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. Now we flip backwards to Romans 5:8. You see this little road? We're kind of skipping around in Paul's greatest hits. Romans 5:8 says this, but God demonstrates his love for us while we were sinners, Christ died for us. See the road? We sin. It's all of us. Christ died for us. Okay, so now what? Now we buzz forward to Romans 10:9. We get in here, we go to Romans 10:9, and it tells us how. 10:9. That if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. See why it's Paul's greatest hits? It starts with the bad news and gets even a little worse, like the wages of sin are death. And then, but we're sinners and Christ died for us, and you can receive him by confessing with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believing in your heart that God raised him from the dead. We receive salvation. And then he ends with Romans 10:13 that says this, everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. If you take Romans 1 through Romans 10, Romans 11, and you just pick out Paul's greatest hits, there they were. That's the largest chunk of scripture that we have in the New Testament that lays out the theology and the doctrine of Christianity in the New Testament. We have to understand that, because if we don't understand that and get that backdrop, then we miss what happens next, which is where we're going to spend our time today. Now you can put your finger in Romans 12, because that's where we're going to be. Because this passage of scripture, it's not always fun for me. I've taught on it a couple times. I don't like teaching on passages like this because it's one of those do passages. It's one of those passages that gives very crystal clear instruction. And the fear is when I teach one of these passages like this, that's very instructional, is that you could walk out of here going, well, the pastor just told us what to do and we need to do that. And keep this in mind. The pastor's not telling you anything to do. We're simply exposing and exploring God's word and see what it tells us to do. And so before we can get to the to do passages, we have to look what has already been done. And that's what Paul set up in his greatest hits. This is what's already been done. Christ died for us, and everyone has access to him. Now we can get to Romans chapter 12. I've already spent a bunch of minutes getting us there. My timer says 90 minutes, Andrew, which is probably wrong. Several of you are like, oh, it's very wrong. Yes. Okay. So just if you guys can help me out with that. All right. So there we've got Romans 1 through 10. I just brought you up to speed. Now let's get to Romans chapter 12. Here's what it says. I urge you, brothers and sisters. Again, this is Paul. Paul, the apostle. Apostle, fancy word that just means a person who is sent to both a geography and a people group. The geography was all over the Mediterranean. Like Paul was like did all these missionary journeys. So the geography was there. The people group was people who weren't Jews, who did not understand who Jesus was and that he came for everyone. So Paul was sent to that group of people. And so he tells them this. Brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, in view of Romans 1 through 11, in view of what God did, I urge you then to offer your bodies, offer yourself as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. That's what we were singing about this morning. That's what we were challenged and encouraged to do, to offer our worship as a sacrifice, to give back to God. He says, this is your true act of worship. And then here's where we'll spend most of our time today. It's the do passage, or honestly, it's the do not. Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but instead be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. I'm going to read it one more time. I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, with everything that Christ has done as the backdrop, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. And do not conform to the patterns of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. This passage is so rich. I love this, but the problem is if we think that we have to do the work, we're missing it. We opened the year looking at God's word and how we wanted to be reminded that he's the one that does the work of our salvation. He's the one that takes our, and we looked at this passage, our dark, ugly, broken heart, our hard heart, and takes it out and replaces it with a new heart at the point of our salvation. So he does that work and gives us a new heart. So let's not mistake this passage. Well, I need to do something for my salvation. We covered that ground in week one. Go back and listen to that message, because God does the work for our salvation. That's his job. And he takes our dark, black, stony heart and gives us a heart of flesh. But that's our heart. What about our mind that we live with? Because if it was just him giving us something new and saying, yay, you're brand new, he would have taken us to be with him in heaven, but he left us here. And he left us here with a new heart and our old mind. So what do we do? He tells us to then renew our mind. We don't have to earn our salvation. We're reminded of that in Psalm 51. Says this, my sacrifice, O God, is a broken spirit and a broken, contrite heart. And you, God, will not despise that. The text is saying, God, this heart that I have that you've given me, this is yours. Now, what do I do with that? I give you my heart. What am I left with? Well, I'm left with my heart because I gave it to you, but I'm left with my mind. And now how do I serve you with that? Let's not forget, he did the work for us. We have to establish that first. This isn't about earning our salvation. He did that, so what do I do now? That's when we go to the list. We'll start with Romans 12:2. We get a very clear directive. Do not conform to the pattern of this world. Do not conform to the pattern of this world. Here's the problem. I actually like to be liked. I'm not going to ask you to raise your hand, but all of us in this room like to be liked. And if you're going to say, oh, I don't like to be liked, you're lying. All of us like to be liked. We actually do things every day to be liked. We walk into a room. You know who we look for when we walk into a room? People who are like us and people who like us. That's who we look for when we walk into a room. We walk into a room and we think, oh, who's like me? I'm going to gravitate to them. And who likes me? I'm really going to gravitate to them. All of us do that. That's okay. That's normal. That's who we are. But we have to remember, our goal isn't to be like other people and to be liked by other people. We've already been loved and been given love. So why are we so concerned with being liked? John 15, Jesus' words are quoted here. Here's what Jesus says. If the world hates you, big word, I don't like the word hate, but he says, if the world hates you, keep in mind, it hated me first. He's like, you're in good company. Now, this isn't like if you're a jerk and if you're unkind. No, that just makes you an unkind jerk. So he's talking about like who we are in Christ. And he says, if the world hates you, keep in mind that it hated me first. If you belong to the world, it would love you as its own. But as it is, you do not belong to the world. I love this part. He's talking about that moment of salvation, what Paul gave us that path in Romans. He says this, as it is, you don't belong to the world. I have chosen you out of the world. Think about this. If you have surrendered your life to Christ, this is your apartment. This is not your permanent address here on earth. Psalm 119 says this, we are strangers here on earth. This is our temporary residence. If we have surrendered our life to Christ, this is our apartment. Our home address is in heaven with him. This is just like, we're just hanging out here. We don't live here. This isn't our residence. We are passing through. So why do we act like this is everything? Because we want to be liked and accepted. I want that. I stumble on that all the time. I want to be liked. I want to be accepted. I want everyone, to like me and to move toward me and invite me to parties and be a part of their thing. I want that. And yet Jesus reminds us, I have been chosen as a follower of Jesus. I have been chosen out of this world. And I should live as such. I wrote this down this week. We often choose the pattern of the world to avoid being outcasts, forgetting that we were chosen out of the world to belong to him. Think about that. We make decisions every day to follow other people so that we can be like them and be liked by them, and we don't even know sometimes who they are and what's important to them. And God called us out of this world, not to conform to the pattern of this world. And yet it impacts how we dress, where we shop, what we do, how we spend our free time, what we say, what we look at on the internet, what we do with our free time, where we vacation, the movies that we watch, the shows that we see, what we binge, what we talk about at the lunch table, what we talk about with our friends at work. All of that is impacted. So here's the question. Why do we choose those things? I think it comes down to the playlist that we have regularly playing in our head. I know this. The Wiggles drove me nuts for days. I would find myself humming that as I'm getting ready in the morning for work. And none of those kids are even in our house. because it's played so often. I've created a pattern. I think I've got some psychology friends in here. I think it's called a neural pathway. I have created such a strong neural pathway in my brain that it is ingrained. It is a habit that I just get up in the morning and I'm making my chai, getting my stuff out of the cupboard, going, hot potato, hot potato, hot potato. Like, I'm just doing it and don't even realize there's no kids in the house. But I have created this significant neural pathway that has impacted the way that I think. And you know what I'm not thinking about? I'm not thinking about the things that God wants me to be thinking about. Now, that's a silly little example. Like, there's nothing wrong with hot potatoes. I like potatoes and carbs and like, okay, yeah. But like, what could I be thinking about? What's God leaning into me? What's he asking me? The text goes on, doesn't just stop there. It says, do not conform to the pattern of this world. It goes on and says this, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Now, again, let's go back to the distinction between the heart and the mind. Jesus did the work. God gave us a new heart, left us our old mind. To do what with it? Well, to go to work, to live in our communities, to learn, to work, to play. He left us here. And then he reminds us it is our job to be transformed by renewing that mind every day. This weekend, we were cleaning some stuff around the house, and I think I've said this before here. Like, for me, in the mornings, I struggle with, like, quiet time in God's word. Here's why. Some of you may have noticed I have some attention issues. Like, I have trouble sometimes, keeping that attention. I have diagnosable ADHD. You all should be jealous. I honestly think it's a superpower. I love it. It's awesome. I went to a Cirque du Soleil show in Vegas a couple years ago with some friends, and we're halfway through the show. It's Michael Jackson, Cirque du Soleil. And halfway through the show, I leaned down the aisle and I said, hey, does anybody else have ADHD? And they're all like, no. And I said, you are missing half of the show. Like, you can't see what I see. My brain is taking in so much data. I didn't sleep for 2 days. It was amazing. Like, it was incredible. Like, you should be jealous. It really is, I do believe, when used and harnessed in the right way, it's a cool superpower. When I don't use it correctly, I forget where I'm at in my notes and I don't know what to do next. Which is why, this weekend I was cleaning out some stuff in our basement, and this is what I do in the mornings. I journal. I journal my prayers. Here's why. Because that thing that I just told you that I have that is a superpower that you should be jealous of, when I sit down in the morning, my brain's going 1,000 different directions. I just woke up and my brain's like, let's go. And I usually have some sugar, right? And then I sit down and it's like screaming. And so what I found is that if I open up my journal, and this weekend I moved a bunch of them to a new space in our house, if I get my hand going, it slows my thinking down. And now I'm seeing what I'm writing, and it allows my prayers to stay focused and allows me to stay on track. I've learned about my mind. Now, do I still drift? Of course I do, which is why I keep a little 3x5 card on the side. And if a thought comes to me that I need to do later, I write that down so I don't forget it and keep thinking about it. And then I go back to my prayer and my journal. Am I 100% perfect to that every single day and every single week? No. But it's something that I've learned how to train my mind. Because years ago, I read this verse and the Lord reminded me to renew my mind, to focus on him. I really do that. One of the big reasons I do that is because of this. Because I got into a bad habit for years. I shouldn't say a bad habit. I'll let you determine whether or not it was bad. I got into a habit for years where I would go to this first. Oh, let me check the weather. Oh, well, the weather, but I'm also going to see if I got an email. Oh, I got an email. Oh, what's that? And then bing, 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 40 minutes later, right? I've bought 7 things on Amazon, right? I've completed 3 tasks for work that, you know, maybe might need to be done or not. I've read a news story about a squirrel in another country that I like, well, that sounds interesting. And oh, shoot, I got to be ready for work in 3 minutes. All right, Lord, let's go. Rock and roll. What do you got? And I realized that 40 minutes was spent perusing on stuff that had nothing to do with that was going to impact eternally my day my family, the people around me. And so when I can, and again, I'm not perfect, when I can, I will set this in a place that I can't get to it, and I'll go analog, right? Which is like, you know, you've got digital and then you've got analog. Y'all go old school. Because here's what's crazy. Here's what's wild. And again, I'm not poo-pooing technology. I've got one. It's in my pocket. It's on stage. I read my Bible on it, right? I do some cool stuff on here. The people that are behind this stuff, which again, smart people, cool people, some of you in this room, like you help with technology like this. They have figured out the algorithm on how to help me get to places where they want me to go. Watch, we'll do a little experiment. I'm just gonna say My Little Pony, My Little Pony, My Little Pony, My Little Pony. Your algorithms are being populated with My Little Pony right now. My Little Pony. You're gonna go to Amazon this week, My Little Pony, and it's gonna show up. You're like, what? Who's been shopping for My Little Pony? Nobody has, but I've just been training your algorithm while we've been standing here because these smart people have figured out how to get us to go where they want us to go. Here's what's crazy. They didn't invent that. God did. We open up his word, read it. Here's what's crazy. The Holy Spirit lives in us. This is so good, you guys. He leads us and guides us through his word where he wants us to go. Anybody impressed by that? Oh, that's so good. And so what I do is I go, that's amazing. Awesome. Thank you, God, for doing that. And I let these people tell me where they want me to go instead of surrendering to the God of the universe who wants to tell me where he wants me to go. Algorithms weren't invented by these super smart people. The Lord put it in motion, set it in play. And he tells us, do not conform any longer to the patterns of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. He put that in play. So this is not one of those messages that ends with, so here's what we're going to do. We've got hammers, bring the hammers in. We're all going to smash our phones. Like that's total 1990s where we did that to teenagers and they broke their CDs and their albums and they did all that. Like it didn't work because it was temporary. God tells us just every day, just get up and go to me. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind. I need my mind renewed. Every day I need my mind renewed because my mind will drift, it will wander, and not because I have a superpower called ADHD, because I'm human. And I have feelings and I have emotions that try to get and hijack the driver's seat. And God's saying, no. I gave you a clean, pure, soft heart. Now here's what I want you to do. I want you to renew your mind and be transformed. But why? Well, he tells us if we'll do that, that's one of the ways that we can do this other writing. Let's look at some of Paul's other greatest hits from the New Testament. 2 Corinthians 10:5 says this, we demolish arguments and every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God. And look at this. This is really powerful language. We take captive every thought and make it obedient to Christ. Taking captive those thoughts and making them obedient to Christ. That is such powerful, rich language that he uses. A couple years ago, Deanna and I we'd gone to a movie here in town over up at North Point. Walked in, paid for the movie. We'd heard people talking about it. We'd seen the previews like, oh, this looks really good. We go in and we sit down. We're in the movie, watching the movie, and we're about 15 minutes into the movie, and neither she and I can remember what the movie was or which one of us did it first, but there was something in our guts that because we both have the Holy Spirit living in us, there was something in our gut that was like, we shouldn't be here. Not because of the people around us, not because I was a pastor in town and people may, you know, see me at that movie. Like it wasn't that bad. Like, but it was just like, there was something in our guts that our Holy Spirit had been tuned into what it is that God had for us. And we don't remember which one of us, but we just leaned into each other like, hey, should we probably go? We're like, yeah, let's go. And movies, like we had little kids, movies aren't cheap, but we just were like, no, this is not right. We can't stay here. And I'm not saying you should don't go to movies and, you know, break your cell phone. That's not the point of this. The point of this is as we renew our minds, the Lord tells us where we should go, where we should spend our time and what we should do. That's what he does. and not to conform to the patterns of this world and just be like the world and do what everybody else does. Because we do what everybody else does, we're going to end up where everybody else goes. And I don't know that that's the best place for us. We also read another one of Paul's greatest hits, Philippians 4:8, tells us this. Finally, brothers and sisters, look at this list. This is such a cool list. Finally, whatever is true, whatever noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about those things. Maybe we should just keep a list. Whatever is true, swipe left. Whatever is right, swipe left. Whatever is lovely, noble, praiseworthy, excellent. Think on such things. Because of what I do, part of my profession, I work here in the school a couple hours a day, work in media and some other stuff and other things that I'm interested in and have like small business stuff in. I was a part of a seminar workshop this week looking at AI and some other stuff. And I was doing some things and I had this stuff just going, I'm listening to it. And this lady was a guest on this webinar. And this lady made millions of dollars around COVID, which is around the time of COVID. And that's why everybody was listening because she, a lot of her videos online went viral and she was making money off of all of these videos. And then she's teaching people in this seminar, in this webinar, this blows my mind. She was teaching people about how to do that. She's like, you can make all this money doing this. And she said, so here's one of the ways I did it. She talked about how right around the time COVID, right after COVID hit, she said, we were making a couple million dollars a month off of organic videos, which are people videos that people just sit and watch. And she said, here's how we did it. Every morning, I had a team of 15 to 20 actors and actresses that would show up at my house. We would get up early, we would look at the viral views from the day before, and then we would write scripts for an hour on videos that went viral the day before. And then we would go out and send these people into the community and they would reenact those videos, recording them on their cell phones with no microphones, nothing professional, making them look like they had just happened. And she said, and you all watched millions of them and had no idea that they were actors and actresses. And I sat there going, wait, what? And she said, yeah. If you saw a Karen video from around that season, you likely saw multiple people that we had hired to go out and act that out and to create that drama in the community. She said, and it was awesome. And then she starts training people on how to do that. And I was like, boop, stop, not listening. But now I'm informed and now I'm a little terrified. Which gets to, whatever is, let's just start with the first one. What did he say? Oh, whatever is true. Oh, come on. Now, again, this isn't like, I'm not trying to spook anybody or scare anybody. This is like we should just live informed and understand that sometimes the things that we're watching aren't even true, let alone noble, right, pure, lovely, admirable, excellent, or praiseworthy. Yeah, but if I don't know what that video is, and if I don't know what that meme is, and I don't know, like, then I won't fit in. And really, when I walk into a room, I want to be liked and be with people that like me. My kids are on some of the stuff and, you know, they'll sit at the table and somebody will say something and the kids will start laughing and my wife and I are like, what? And I'm like, oh, that's a meme. They're like, yeah. Have you seen it? I'm like, no, I haven't. And so I just decided, here's what I'm doing now. When we sit at the dinner table, if they do that a couple minutes later, I just like randomly say something and they're just like, what? I'm like, oh, it's a meme. They're like, oh, I haven't seen it. Yeah, because it doesn't exist. Like, it's so fun. Like, I just mess them with their brains, right? Like, I'm not going to go do all that. I'll just make it up. And then eventually they'll stop because they're like, yeah, that's just weird. Like, yeah, it's weird when you do it too. So quit doing it, right? So like, but I want to be a part. I want to be, my four kids at the dinner table, do you think I want to be a part of what they're experiencing? Absolutely, I do. I want to be accepted. But here's the thing. Is it worth it? We chase, again, here's something else. We can afford to be rejected by the crowd because here's the thing, we're accepted by the King. We've already been accepted. We've already been adopted, grafted into his family. We can afford to be rejected by the crowd to miss out on a few things. We can afford it because we've already been rewarded. We've already been rewarded. But it's not easy. So, which is maybe why Paul gives us the why. Which is maybe why Paul lands this little section with telling us why we should not conform, why we should spend time renewing our mind, why we should reject the world and instead lean into what it is. He tells us why. And he just lands this little section with this. Because if you'll do that, if you'll not conform, if you'll be transformed and renew your mind, well, then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. Wait, what? If I'll go old school and lean into what it is that God wants me to do, even though this is hard to read sometimes, like I don't always understand it. Like this is my nerd Bible. I use the Life Application Bible. This is God's word, right? And this part on the bottom, this helps explain it to me. It's like a study Bible. This is a Life Application Bible. Cause sometimes even I read the stuff up top and I'm like, I don't know. Like what does this mean? This little nerd part here helps me out, like helps me understand. So it's not always easy, but you're telling me that if I'll do this, if I'll lean in, the byproduct is this, that then I will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. Yes. Because he's planted within us as believers, the Holy Spirit, that as we read this, guess what? He has an algorithm. He knows what we need. And his motives are pure. His motives are to get us where he wants us to go. These motives, I'm a little skeptical. I think they're trying to get me where they want me to go. I've bought some cool stuff. I've created some things on here that have helped me and people around me and other people. So again, I'm not poo-pooing the whole thing, but I'm telling you, if this is where I'm spending more time than in here, then I'm gonna end up where they want me to go. If I spend more time here, I'm gonna end up where he wants me to go. The goal is not that we would experience shame today. The goal is not to shame anyone. So if you're like, oh, I have to delete, you know, my screen history, my screen time, like I'm not even gonna open, like this is not, the goal of this is not shame. The goal of this is to seek God's word. And here's what it tells us. It tells us not to conform to the patterns of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of our minds. And as we do that, we'll be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. And he's gonna tell us and put us where he wants us to go. He's gonna tell us how to act every place where we live, learn, work, and play. He's gonna remind us and instruct us how to show and share the love of Jesus. That's his heart. That's the heart of our church, but it comes straight from his word. And that's what he wants for us. So this isn't another list of things we have to do. Remember, we started with, he's already done the work. He just tells us, great, now here's what I want you to do. Every day, I want you to get up, spend time with me, get your directions from me, and help me get you where I want you to go, because there are people that need him. And that's why we do it. So again, if you're here, I'm so glad that you're here. I'm glad you landed. We just talk very candidly about who God is and what he asks of us. My hope is that you heard the first part more than anything. If you don't know who Jesus is, I want you to know he created a road, a path for you to discover who he is. We don't want to saddle you with more burdens. Like, come here, well, I got to do all these things so that he'll love me. Nope. You do these things because he loved you. And we'll walk you through that. But I'm glad that you're here. And those of you that call Mission Point your home and like you love Jesus and you've surrendered to him, my prayer is this, that we wouldn't feel shame, that we would hear from the Holy Spirit himself. And then if there's something we need to change and we need to renew our mind and do habits differently and remove things and add things, like that comes from him, not from me. That's my hope this morning. Sorry, I hope that doesn't sound bossy, but I'm glad you're here. I'm going to pray for us. I'll be quiet. Lord, I love you. God, thank you for who you are. God, thank you that you give us a pathway to you, a road to you, a road to salvation. I thank you for that first and foremost. And Lord, I pray that we would not experience shame today, that we would experience freedom. I pray that we wouldn't experience guilt, but we would experience conviction. If there's something you need to convict us of, Lord, I'm going to pray for it. I pray that you would convict us. It would come from you. And that conviction would lead to confession, and that confession would lead to transformation. If that's what you want for us, Lord, speak to us now and even during this last song or two, that you would speak to us, and then you give us the courage to do something about it. Lord, we want to honor you. We want to be transformed. You've already saved us. Now, Lord, help us to do what you've asked us to do, to not conform and to be transformed. I love you, Jesus. We give you this time. It's in your name I pray. Amen.
Thanks so much for tuning in to today's message. We would love to personally invite you to one of our Sunday services at 9 or 10:45 a.m. in the Performing Arts Center at Warsaw Community High School at 1 Tiger Lane in Warsaw, Indiana. If you've enjoyed this podcast, please make sure to subscribe and connect with us on social media by following Mission Point CC. You can also contribute to what God is doing through Mission Point. Simply visit missionpoint.net/give and give a gift today. Thanks again for joining us. Have a great week.